Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze.
What's up? What's up, everybody? July 3rd. Big day tomorrow. Big day today. Big day every day for our military and our people in service who take care of us. And I thank you, as always. It's with great appreciation that I get to do these this stuff. I get to be who I am, and I couldn't. There's no way I can ever thank you enough. But I do thank you, and I salute you, and thank you. It's hard to muster up the words because it is such a thing that it's hard to say thank you. But it because there's no way I could ever thank you enough. It's like trying to buy somebody a gift who's got everything. What do you buy him? But I do thank you, and I appreciate all of you and your families, and thank you so much. Anyways, we didn't expect much today, right? We expected a quiet market, and they're just kind of drifting higher, and they did close at noon, or 1 Eastern time, excuse me, noon my time. There's not a lot of things to be excited about. I get tired of hearing the rat crap of what is going on, but I think I don't know. I read something over the weekend. I think it's just I don't know. it would make me, it could explode me when I hear talk like this. And the president of the New York Stock Exchange, Tom Farley, said, or was quoted as saying, that he believes that they should eliminate short selling in the market. And I go, what are you, and you're out of your mind? But what does that really mean? You know, first of all, short selling is a big part of the market. And because you know from being a listener of my show that trading is a skill, and being able to be a short seller is a skill. Because it takes a lot of intestinal fortitude sometimes to short the market. And he called it, I believe, anti-American. And why is it anti-American? I would think it would be more American because, you know, he called it betting against an American company. Okay. You're not betting against an American company. You're most of the time betting against a company that's overvalued. Shorting Apple in 2011 was 700. Was that betting against Apple? No, I think it was betting against the people. You weren't betting against the company. You're betting against the other people that are trading the company. I don't understand where these idiots believe that they want to control everything. And really, what it really comes down to, and it couldn't be more apropos than for our July 4th, is that they want to eliminate our freedom. They want to take away every advantage you have, and they want to create more transparency. What the hell? When do we become so transparent about everything? I mean, is everybody transparent about everything they do? I don't think so. All right, so when, you know, they want to transparency, like, so if you're a professional poker player, you have to play with your cards open so everybody can see them. You know, the art of trading is the art of reading and understanding what other people are doing around you. You're not betting against the company. You're betting against the other traders. You're betting against the other people in the world. It's not against the company. It's against what's going on. So why is that? Why is trying to be a capitalist and make money and make as much money as you can being anti-American? Somebody out there has to explain that to me, because to me, that's just another big part of the overall market world. But of course, when you have everybody trying to eliminate the free market system, when you have everybody try to eliminate the true price discovery model, then it makes sense. I mean, I don't understand where they're concerned, and the NASDAQ as well. Because at the end of the day, you know, obviously they have a gimmick in their mind. But if you do it that way, then there'll be no markets that'll move. There'll be no liquidity to move in stocks, because either they're going to go straight up if things are going good because people want to be invested – So they're going to keep chasing up because now without a short seller, if I own stock and I'm not ready to sell it yet, well, the only way I'm going to sell it is if you come in and overpay for it. So we're again, the whole system doesn't make sense. But this is more, I believe the message is more about destructing the American way. I believe it's more about becoming more of a socialistic nation. This goes into single payer healthcare and everything else. Again, it seems to me that they want to limit the ways that people can go out there and make money. And if you know the skill of trading, you know, there's many, many big short sellers that, you know, made their lives on being short sellers. And they weren't putting companies out of business. They were trading against the market and trading against the overexuberance of the people that were buying it. So, it's, again, I don't know where anybody comes up with it. Is it what they call un-American and betting against the company? And I think the other big comment I thought was really interesting. Icky. Okay. New York Stock Exchange president calls short sellers icky. Icky. Icky my ass. Okay. I mean, they want us to be transparent about selling and why. I mean, you know, it's amazing how all of these things that they talk about are to punish the middle guy. They are to take away the freedoms and liberties that we have. The very guys that are out there listening, and I thank you again, that fought for my freedom, gave me the rights to do the things that I could, whatever I could do to make the most amount of money. And I commend you for that. And I think that's what the American way is. I don't know what happened to capitalism here, but it's certainly not, it certainly stinks of socialism. I mean, you ask me, I mean, why do they want to take away a liquid market? You know, if you go back to the original opening of the futures market back in 1848, the futures market was a full, it was meant for hedgers, okay? Now, hedgers were there, but you think that there wasn't a short seller on the other side of the hedger? Who took the other side of the market? If the market was for hedging, then who took the other side? All right? And I think that is the thing that you have, that I think that's the thing we're all missing here, is people took the other side to provide the liquidity to keep a market fair price and equal valued because of what the markets decide. But of course, nobody seems to want free markets anymore. Nobody wants to seem to want what we really need, which is just a simple state of the market. Let the markets discuss and decide what asset prices are. Okay. That's where I think the real problem comes in, is we've lost the ability or the desire from the people that are very wealthy to allow the markets to exchange information and prices freely, where they want to make everything done in a way where, okay, so we don't get the free market system. We get the manipulated market system. So at least the stock that we own won't get short sold into, so we won't have to worry about it. I mean, you got to wonder about the mentality of somebody who run these exchanges. And again, I find it totally disgusting. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's absolutely, you know, kind of, I don't know. I can't even use the word because I don't want it to come back at me. But believe me, if you know what word I would use here, but I don't get it. I just don't understand the entire system that they're trying to create here. And I think it's a shame. And, you know, in the meantime, my veterans, my service people, everybody, families, thank you. I appreciate you. Thanks for giving me the freedom to just do what I just did and kind of spell it out. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. And, of course, check out Audible Trial, audibletrial.com/ The Bubba Show. Download a book. And don't forget to also download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And you can also get the Sporting Edge. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. This is July 3rd. Tomorrow's the Freedom Day. And I thank you all once again. And we're going to step out of a break. We'll be right back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. It's time for the one, the only, the one who brings good things to life. My friend Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kachinga Report. What's up, Jane King?
Hey, Todd, how's it going? Looking forward to summer. It's going to be a great week in New York, and looking forward to July 4th.
Yeah, it'll be July 4th will be great. And, of course, there's too many fireworks, though, on the Hill, and too many fireworks going on with these dopes. I tell you, it is amazing to watch these people act. I mean, both sides. Again, I don't pick one or the other. I just say both. And because, you know, Trump obviously is used to, you know, if this was his company, all these changes would be made, everybody would be done. Goodbye, good luck, and we'd be moving on. Yeah. But in the meantime, we're now, what, in 90 days of trying to get this stupid healthcare thing worked on and not even close yet, I don't think?
Yeah, we actually got our, we're on Obamacare, as you well know, because I've talked about it many times. So our rates are going up 70% next year. So, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? But I'm sitting here thinking, like, there's all these people out there who are dealing with these rate increases and kind of crappy health care. And here's Washington. Can't quite figure it out. Now, I know it's complicated. It's a huge part of the economy. You're dealing with health. You're dealing with emotions. You're dealing with money. But I feel like they should be able to come up with something. And because we can't stay with Obamacare. I mean, it's failing. I mean, there's counties that don't have coverage, or they only have one insurer. I mean, that can't be sustained. So they have to come up with something. And, you know, I really, really would like to see them not take their August break and stay in and get some work done.
No chance. Look, I'm going to say this, and you can agree or disagree, but they have no interest in you and me. They only have interest in themselves and what they're doing and the money that they can raise. I mean, they don't have Obamacare. They don't have Social Security. Mm-hmm. They don't have any of the other regulations that you and I have to abide by. I think they could care less. That's my personal opinion. I think it's ridiculous. But as you said, so... So the healthcare is going to fail, and it's going to continue to fail. And why can't I think the Democrats so badly want a single payer system. I mean, what's with this? I mean, that's the problem.
Well, I feel like that's kind of where we're headed. I mean, nobody can stand the fact that somebody might not have some coverage, or I mean, if you just read the newspaper and they'll do a story about one child that is going to lose their coverage under the Senate Republican bill, and people just freak out about it. And I feel like if they don't come up with something that's, you know, it's going to take smart. I mean, they're going to be really smart about this. If they can't do that, and we're headed to single payer. You know, it's interesting. Like, we had a friend who just came back from Japan, and he suffered some injury there. I can't even remember. It's like a cut on a hand or something. Went to the emergency room in Japan, fixed it, great treatment, $45 total. And he was like, why can't we do something like that? Well, they have, like, a single-payer system there, and it seems to work for them. But what I'm concerned about with that is the lack of innovation. I mean, you don't hear of medical advancements coming that much from other countries. We do a lot of the pharmaceutical research. Our pharmaceutical companies pay for that, and then it's sold all over the world. I fear that we're going to lose a lot of that innovation if we do go to a single-payer system, and I think, you know, that's going to hurt people down the line and with treatment of big diseases like cancer and Alzheimer's.
Well, even in what they're trying to do now, even with this system, I mean, you know, listen, think about it. You know, they really cut the ability for doctors to make a lot of money. I mean, they'll make good money, but they really cut down the percentage. So now you think about it, you want to be a doctor. Do you want to go spend 12 years of your life, get $500,000 in debt to go to a job that really doesn't give you the big benefits that you used to be able to get from being a doctor?
Oh, well, our first pediatrician with the kids left New York. He's like, I can't afford to live here anymore. A doctor. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely happening. A lot of this original doctor that I had when I moved to New York, who I can't have anymore because she doesn't take Obamacare, but I was told I could keep my doctor. But anyway, she's going to concierge care. She's just getting out of the practice, and people are going to pay her a lot of money, and she's going to give them a lot of extra attention. So these doctors are coming up with different ways to treat people to try to survive.
Well, my doctor became a boutique doctor. He just said, look, I'm taking...
Yeah, I think that's what mine is doing, yeah.
I give everybody an hour a day, and you want to be a patient of mine, you give me a $2,000 a year retainer. And that's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, yeah. And for me, it's worth it. But I understand. It's just, it's really sad because it should be such a simple fix. This is the real problem I have with all of them. Okay, and I don't care, like I said, I don't care what side you're on, but It's such a simple solution. You and I could get it done in 5 minutes, okay? But because everybody's got their hands out and they're trying to get their own stuff done, that's why there's such a delay here, because the solution is very simple. You let the insurance company sell state lines. You let everybody do their thing. You let doctors charge what they're going to charge. You know what? And if they get out of whack, then they're not going to get paid. That's all. I mean, it becomes back to a real free market system. If their doctors are nuts, they're not going to get customers, right?
No, I mean, I totally agree. What I don't understand is why we can't do the insurance things across state lines. I mean, I'm sure there's a lobbying and there's money involved and all that stuff somewhere down the line, but it just seems like that would be one thing that would just lower costs immediately. And I can't figure out why nobody has any guts anymore to kind of take care of this stuff. And everybody's left holding the bag. So just keep yourself healthy. Don't get hit by any buses. You know, it's the only control we have.
If you get hit by a bus, you go to the emergency room so you get taken care of, because you got to be taken care of there.
That's right.
You know, it's funny. I had coffee the other day. You know, I go to the same place all the time, and a couple works there, you know, on and off, but they met there. And in the meantime, they're on, like, you know, some sort of entitlements, and they don't go to the doctor. They go to the emergency room. They need service. They go there.
So, yeah. Well, our nanny would do that. She didn't have health care, and she would just go to the emergency room, I mean, for any little thing. And she knew she'd be there 6 hours, but that was for only health care. So, I mean, I don't know. There's doctors that are in Congress. You think that they, you know, would come up with some solutions. I mean, they just need to sit and they just need to hammer this thing out. And they not stop trying to please everybody and just get something that works for the next 10 to 20 years.
Right. And of course, I personally believe that the destruction that we've had in this country, a lot of it is just due to the politics of this country. I mean, you're from that breed. You have you're from the farm originally, and the farmers have had a lot of damage onto them because of all these stupid regulations that are out there. I mean, you know, what the hell's going on with this? It's time to go back to be real America and not have all these things in the way. Everything you got to do, you need a permission slip and a federal grant to go to the bathroom. I mean, it's ridiculous already.
Right. I mean, there's so many rules, when you look at what made this country great? I mean, just look at history. I mean, what made America great was the ability of people to just pursue their dreams and being able to do that and be free about doing that. But over the years, we've just layered on so many regulations and so many things. They don't want anybody to get hurt, nobody to, you know, suffer at all. Everybody's got to be taken care of by the nanny state, and that has taken away a lot of that innovation, and look at other countries. Like, Europe is just stagnant right now. I mean, we're kind of headed in the same direction as Europe, I feel like. And we've got a president who recognizes that, but a lot of people in the public, I don't think, do, and they just want to be taken care of.
Well, we're used to doing the same old, but I got more, but I know it's almost time, and I want to know what's going on with the education thing, your education podcast.
Okay. Yep. So we have some more. So John Stossel's going to be on the podcast. Fox Business guy, ABC News, you know, well-known libertarian, always has interesting, thought-provoking things to say. So we got him coming up in July. We're going to be talking to a bunch of college kids. I've rounded up a bunch of interns that I know, and I'm just going to pick their brains a little bit about what do you exactly know as you're getting ready to go in the real world and figure this money thing out. So that's going to be really interesting. I'm talking to Ted Beck from the National Endowment for Financial Education. So lots of interesting stuff. It's summer, but we are not slowing down. The Jane King Ka-Ching podcast lives on, even in the summer.
Where's that Bubba guy? He don't get to come out anymore. I can't believe it. A one-hit wonder.
Co-host it with me. So what you need to do when you come to New York, we'll schedule a podcast recording and you can be my co-host. That's what I want to do next with you.
You got it. Jane King, have a great holiday. I appreciate you. You're always great. I appreciate having you on. That was our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report. And, of course, this podcast is being brought to you by Audible Trial. Audible Books, actually, not Audible Trial. Audible Books, but you can check it out at audibletrial.com/ The Bubba Show and download many of the 180,000 books that they have. And of course, I want you to download Fed Up for our friend Daniel D. Martino Booth, who will be here on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge, and go check out bubbatrading.com. We'll be right back after the break with more of The Bubba Show and Matt Demeter. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back to you. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert of technical analysis. Matt, what's up, my man?
I'm doing good. How about you, Todd?
I'm doing good. I mean, you know, again, markets were a little bit active, but again, we just can't seem to get that that trend going, starting to head lower. I'm not sure. I'm sure it will happen shortly because it certainly looks bad, but what are you seeing out there, Matt?
I think we're still waiting. I think, you know, we're going to chop around for, you know, U.S. markets. I'm still waiting on that NYSE target. That's, you know, it seems so elusive because it just doesn't want to get there, wants to take its time. It's still about just under 2% higher. It's declining. And as of now, it's at about 11,930. So still just once that hits, I'm ready to go.
You're ready to rock and roll. 1,100, 930,
and we're declining by roughly 12 points per week.
All right, and we're at right now 11,761. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, you know, obviously it's frustrating. I knew it was a holiday, but I thought, I don't know if you pay, you know, you don't watch the individualized like I do because I'm much shorter term. But I was looking at Thursday. And I thought Thursday was very interesting. I thought Thursday had a lot of remnants of a 1987 look to it. And again, I'm not ever saying that we'll ever see 1987 again because we can't. It's a statistical impossibility the way things are set up that they can't do it again the way that it happened. But the intraday action looked very much like something was going on. And I just wondered if you looked at that or what your thoughts were.
Yeah, you know, it started to look kind of plungy, and you know, I still think I have supports that will hold it and bounce it before we get a, you know, huge sell off. Other markets, I think, you know, look at the Euro Stoxx 50, which I've been I've already said I felt that it peaked at the, you know, right after the French election, like the first 15 minutes the market was open after the French election. It's now down 6% roughly since then. And it's not looking good. It's a little bit oversold right now. I think it'll probably bounce. But there's other, you know, kind of negative markets I'm seeing out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of negative vibes out there, and I think that's something that, you know, we can look at. And again, look, we're not calling the end of the world. We're just saying that the technicals of the market, which is what Matt does, is because he doesn't get involved in any of the nonsense of what's going on with the news and this report and that report. Because as Matt will tell you, I'm sure all those reports, all that news plays out in the tape anyways, does it not?
Yeah, all that information, it's all public information. It's already in the charts. And even stuff that hasn't been released yet, enough people know about it that it makes its way into the charts ahead of time. So unless it's a truly rare event that nobody's expecting, it's in there.
So when we saw, now, you and I talked last week, and we both had the feeling that oil was going to go ahead and at least bounce a little bit. And it had a pretty nice bounce, about an 8% bounce last week?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, roughly 7 point something, right?
And do you think what's your What's your upside target from here now? I think mine is I'm ready to now sell, but not here. I'm not going to sell as it's going up. I'm going to look for it to show me that it slowed and it's going to start to head lower, and then I'd be willing to go ahead and jump in and sell it.
Yeah, I don't have real good resistance until high 49s. So we actually got long right around 42, just above. It was a 42.40 we bought in. I'm seeing first resistance coming in around 49.90. So that's where we're looking to exit.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. But again, listen, that's what makes a market. I think that, certainly I could be surprised, because those are things that happen in markets all the time. And that's one of the reasons I think we see these extensions one way or the other. I think we saw that in the bond market. You know, we had, the bonds were sickening. They just kept going up and up and up, like it was like they were free. And it didn't make logical sense just in a normal correlation standpoint. But I think what happened, like in the bond market, is that, the traders had overcompensated for the hike that they're going to have, and they all got rammed up their potatoes and they got caught short. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, the bonds were very frustrating for me, because I had what I call pivot lines that were a little bit lower. Like I'm looking at TLT, they were in the 126 range, and I said that if we got above 128, that we would stop out. One day, we had gap up. One day, I don't know, I think it was Monday of last week, we popped above 128, then gap, we stopped out, and then gapped right below. And now it's doing what we anticipated it would, which is selling off. So I think the sell-off in treasuries will continue when during this move up. The commercials have been shorting the heck out of it. They got nearly as short as they were a year ago when, treasuries made their big high. So that, to me, said, that alone was enough to agreed with the technicals as well. So we were bearish all along. The only downside is we got stopped out.
Right, and that's going to happen. I mean, look, yeah. we all know the real life markets is, if we could be perfect, we'd be sitting on a beach working on our computer from the beach, but we do have to, do the technical work that goes along with it. And of course, in this particular case, it kind of ran a little bit past, and of course, it's doing exactly what you thought it was doing, which is obviously one of the frustrations of being in this industry, is that they, you have it right, but they just don't do it quite right, and you get trapped. But I think that, you had to call from the bottom, so, you might have missed a little bit, and I'm sure you'll probably get another opportunity to get back in again. So, it's only one trade, right? So we look at it that way, right?
Right, yeah. I think we probably will get another bounce and another chance to reshort. If we don't, the heck with it. I mean, like you said, there's plenty of other trades that we can do, and lots of other things are going on. Lots of other, turning points. So it's good.
Yeah. So in some of the things that you talk about, what are some of the things you're seeing turning points in?
Well, we were looking, this is now past, but we got into the pound on that weakness about a week ago when it fell to, I think it was about 125, 126. We already had a small long position. It was a third of a position. We put the other two thirds on, got a full long position. Now it's, at roughly 130. So that's been a great trade. As far as immediate turning points, I think probably gold and silver look okay. I think silver in particular looks good. Although right here is a good place in the mid 16s to buy silver. If we were to break below 16.20, 16.15, then it would be then we'd stop out. But I think that silver, the commercials are bullishly positioned, at least historically. They're always short, but they have a very small short position right now in silver. So that's a good buy.
All right. Again, I mean, obviously, we're looking for things, and one of the problems comes back down to, our good old friend the VIX, which you've been talking about and saying, hey, it's got to get to, at the time, I think the first target was like the low sevens. Now I think we're probably, in the mid sevens right now?
Yeah, we're actually around 779, something like that. Yeah, so we're say call it 780.
All right, so almost $8. So again, I mean, can that Can that get there? And the answer is yeah. It could get down there, or the target come up the rise and meet it, which mm-hmm. and maybe it'll be a combination of both. I mean, I personally don't see a meltdown to your level. I could see the pause waiting for your stuff to catch up, because your stuff is pretty powerful. So I could see it waiting. Obviously nobody's ever seen it down there before, just because it's never been there. So certainly I would never be too surprised if anything happened. But I would probably, if I were to handicap your stuff, it would be the markets will make come down a little bit. Maybe they'll make another new low in the low nines. But I think what will happen is your volatility come up to meet it, and then it'll just go to the moon. That's what I would.
That's my sort of predisposition towards it as well. I think we're looking at, I think the real meltdown comes a few months from now, or, 2 months from two months from now, I think would probably be about right. Because it is rising by, this target's rising by 65 cents a week. So, a combination of the two could get it done in just around 2 months.
Yeah, no, again, it's just one of the things, of course, when you have a lack of volatility, I always call that the lack of opportunity, because volatility is the great forgiver in markets. And when it's flying around, it gives you, even if you make a mistake or make a bad trade, it gives you a chance to get out because of how fast the markets move. And when we have no volatility, it really makes it much tougher to get involved in some of those things. What do you think?
Yeah, no, the more active markets, definitely more profit opportunities, and things get overbought much more quickly, get oversold much more quickly. So you have a lot of turning points to work with. When you're dealing with choppy markets, you don't have a lot of, it's not really safe for bulls or bears, those kind of markets. So everybody gets chopped up. So I prefer, greater volatility.
For those of you who don't understand, you should want high volatility, because, again, even if you're wrong, you can typically get a swing in the market one way or the other, and it give you an opportunity to either re-enter or get out at what you're trying to do. And there's many more opportunities, and that's really what guys like me and Matt work on, is the more opportunities we get to be right because we're mathematically right, then the higher probability we're going to have of winnings. But anyways, this is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And, of course, he's the expert of The Bubba Show. And this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Remember to go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every single day, and also get the Sporting Edge on the weekend. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back with more from Matt. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, also known as the Bubba Show expert of technical analysis. And so, Matt, I know you and I were talking during the break, and you brought up the one of the turning points you might think is the Nike, and the Nike, not the Nikes, but the Nike. They're not on Amazon. So what do you think there, and how would you play it if you were going to play it?
I've been waiting for a target for a long time. It's a declining target. It's currently about just over 20,500 in the Nikkei, and that's where I'm looking to get short. I think that should be a key turning point. I don't think it's necessarily a bull market top, but it's going to be powerful. It should be a powerful turning point that sends it back down. And in addition, switching gears a little bit, another turning point I think we're near is euro. We've been talking about currencies for a while, and I've been saying 114 in the euro, and the presently the target's right at 114.6, and we just about hit it last week. So I think that's just about done. I think the dollar is almost done to the downside, so I think we'll get reversals in both those currencies.
All right, that's cool. And the overall meats, I know you've been a fan of cow, and I know that it's made some retrenchment and gotten back to some things you wanted. But we had some interesting activity. And, of course, the most amazing thing is that meats, cattle, and it stays kind of sideways. But hogs continue to make new highs every day. And I think they've made 7 out of 10 new contract highs. It's interesting. What are you seeing in that market?
Well, I'm still bullish of the combination, whether it be cattle kind of going sideways, or hogs going sideways and the other one going up, but or both just going up. But I think there's more room to the upside for both. In cow in particular, I think we're targeting at least 27, the 27s. We're at 25 now. So
about 8%.
Yeah. So I think we have at least that much more upside. And so we're staying long for that. Yeah, we got it in the 24s. We're hoping we would, you know, hit support there. We did. So that should be a reasonably good trade. Still, it's still plenty of room to get long here and for move up to the, say, at least the mid 27s.
All right. Now, you know, you've been a big fan of wheat from, you know, way, way back in the day.
Yeah.
And wheat exploded Thursday, Friday last week. And, you know, that they had news, but you know, again, I'm a big believer that news plays out before it comes out anyway. So, but either way, the news did kind of support that. And of course there is some weather issues, but we don't play that. But my point is now wheat went up about, I don't know, it was about 8% in the last 2 days of last week, somewhere around that neighborhood. Do we continue to ride it, or do you have a target to where we should get out? What's your play there? Cause I mean, I know that it's gone basically parabolic. I mean, I think it went from 460 to 540 in 2 days.
Yeah, I was looking at it. It is at a resistance. It closed at a resistance point on Friday, and it's right at a minor resistance level. And at the same time, it's overbought on RSI. I'm still bullish, both medium term and long term on wheat. Short term, I wouldn't be buying here. We haven't played it. I've been over and over saying we'd be long wheat and we'd be short soybeans, and that's played out pretty well thus far. But we've played it more through DBA, which is the big agricultural ETF that, you know, has 17 or 14 right. different agricultural products in it. Wheat, I wouldn't be buying it here. I think we're going to probably get a little bit of a pullback. And then it would probably be a good opportunity to buy.
Now, I agree with that as well. I think we'll get a bit of a pullback, but I actually called on RFD TV. I called about 6 months ago. I called for 550 beans in December. So, you know, soybeans to me now, again, you don't really look at the individual chart, but to me, they're right at a key spot because I know you were bearish and looked like they were in trouble between 950 and nine. They poked their head above 950, and I thought that was a pretty key level. And I get it, obviously they can still go lower. This is not, you know, a false breakout happens all the time, so it's not like it's storming through it. But are you still negative the soybeans?
Yeah, I am. I still say we're going to say 870 in soybeans on the November contract. It didn't make it to my support, so that I'm looking for. A reversal back to the downside. I think we'll probably get that in like we were talking about wheat getting overbought. I think we'll get a little bit of a pullback. I think the pullback will be more severe in soybeans.
And what about corn? I know that's another one you were kind of you went from bearish to neutral and you were kind of neutral, and it's kind of been kind of neutral trading. It's sound asleep, but now it had a little bit of a pop. Not as much as one might think, though, but it had a little bit of a pop.
Corn, I think it broke support about 2 weeks ago, and you know, now it's rallying back up to the underside of that support. So I think that's what I'm seeing. So I think that's is probably going to roll back over again and go to the downside. This is not a high confidence chart for me. So I'm still negative. I would still lean, you know, short, but. You know, I'm not gonna. This is not like on a scale of 1 to 10. I'd call this a 6 for me.
Okay, well, no, I mean that's an important issue to bring up to everybody. You don't really need to be. You don't have to trade everything if it's not if your setup is not that you want to see. Then you don't have to trade it, right?
Right. I mean, we do have a target support that's beautiful. That's quite a bit further down. And if that were hit, I'd be, you know, a rage. I'd turn into a raging bull because much higher confidence on that target. But you know, that could take some time. It's a rising target, and you know, for right now, more or less staying away from it.
I'd like to buy him at $1.99 again, like I did in 1999.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But all right, so what's going on with the commitment of traders now? What's been in that report? What are we looking like?
Well, you know, it's interesting. They reduced their this is one of the things that makes me think we're going to be chopping around a bit in U.S. stock indices. They reduced their short positions their long positions in volatility. So they've taken some of that off. And of course, we had, you know, a spike last week in volatility, a one-day spike. So they've probably taken a little bit more off since. So they're not fully, you know, set up for a volatile move. And as far as the stock index futures themselves, they're still very short. But they lightened up a little bit on NASDAQ. I mean, NASDAQ's had some significant weakness, so you would expect that's what they do. They short into strength and they buy into weakness. So NASDAQ they've lightened up on. Not really the case for Dow futures or S&P futures. They're still they're on either side of, you know, adding a little bit or subtracting a little bit the past couple of weeks. So they're still set for a bearish resolution.
A bearish resolution. How about the American resolution? So let me ask you a question. What are you thinking about? You know, I just lost my mind in the middle. I'm losing my train of thought. And of course, it's never good to do on the radio. You have, you know, a lot of different things happening, and we've got the holidays, you know. Does this change? I mean, this is a kind of an interesting week because we've got the July 4th on Wednesday or Tuesday tomorrow. And I don't know, jobs this week? They should be, but I'm not sure. Sometimes they change it.
I actually didn't check, so I don't know either. This is usually, I think, a fairly light week. It's typically, you know, sort of bullish in a holiday week like this. I think it might turn seasonally bearish after Tuesday, but in any case, I don't particularly expect a lot of action, but, you know, could always be surprised.
Well, no, I mean, the surprise would be is that we get really busy because nobody's around. So,
yeah.
So somebody could create one big move. Now, I just want to ask you one more quick question, and that is last week there was a big move down in gold. They called it a fat finger trade, and I call BS. Did you see that
trade? Oh, yeah. Monday, that was at 4 o'clock in the morning.
At 4 o'clock in the morning.
Eastern time,
And the funny thing is I go, okay, I don't believe it anyways, but I go, okay, let me look at silver real quick. And the same as the trade was made in silver. So what, he had two fat fingers?
Yeah, it's two waterfall declines. Like it was that was a 30-second move or less?
Yes.
That we dropped 40 cents in silver.
23,000 contracts in gold.
That's insane. That's the kind of stuff. That's stop hunting. I mean, that's where, particularly when I was, because I follow silver a little bit more closely, but they had the commercials knew where all the stops were. They were just below the prior low, which is typically where they're set up.
Right.
So they said, let's knock it down and take out those stops, and we can cover some more.
All right, Matt Demeter, we got to cut it. We'll get this next time. Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Thanks for being on the show today, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. It's always good to be here.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great 4th of July. We salute you. Thank you so much. We'll see you back here on Tuesday, tomorrow, July 4th. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much.
I just spin around.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk Event.